Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
We're back this week with our Week 8 picks. Updating you guys a little bit on the records. You guys actually went 11-3 last week. Like we say, each week, go to our Instagram and you can vote for who you think is going to win every game. And right now, you guys are in the lead for the entire season at 74-30-1. That's an amazing record. And we said, if you win at the end of the year, you guys get a giveaway. So keep up the good votes, keep up the good picks, and you'll get a giveaway. Anish is trailing you guys 72-32-1.
I'm catching up. I'll get there.
Went 10-4. Catching up. You went down last week.
They'd be Don't worry. I'll catch up. I will.
We'll figure it out. But him and Shrikar went 10-4 last week. I went 8-6 in just the worst fashion you could imagine. I had Atlanta beating Detroit. I had Cincinnati winning, and I had the Titans winning. And within the span of 5 minutes, Atlanta blew it on the last play of the game. Cincinnati blew it on the last defensive snap of the game, and Steven Gostkowski missed the kick. And just like that,
three chances
to get up on you guys, and it goes to three losses in the last 5 minutes. But I don't want to talk about it. Shrikar, take it away with our first game of this week.
All right. Yep. An NFC South divisional matchup, Atlanta at Carolina. Now, I know last time you both picked Atlanta. I picked Carolina. What's it going to be? I'll go first. I'm going to take Carolina here. It wasn't relatively hard.
I'm going to kind of go quick as well. I'm going to take Carolina just because, again, I'm not sure if CMC comes back, but I trust this team. And again, they hung with the Saints. They really did. Teddy Bridgewater has been looking really good. They've got a really underrated receiving core in DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson's been playing like a top 10 receiver in this league right now. Still hasn't found the end zone since week one, which is a bit concerning for fantasy users. But if you're in PPR, that should be good. So yeah, I'm going to take Carolina here. I also trust their defense. Again, with Atlanta blowing leads. I mean, it's the fourth quarter. They just collapsed. I don't know what else to say.
The Falcons have a terrible secondary too. So
yeah, exactly. Their secondary does not match up well with these two receivers, as it didn't in Atlanta, which is why Carolina won. I'm going to take Carolina here.
Yeah, the Falcons are dead to me, so I'm going with Carolina. I won't be picking the Falcons in close games, it seems like, for the rest of the year, unless something crazy happens. But, you know, they got to win, and they give us a little bit of hope, and they come right back the next week, and they blow it again. I mean, Todd Gurley, just go down. He was told
Matt Ryan
to go
told
down.
Him to go down, and he did.
Yeah, you saw the mic go.
No, I saw an Instagram post that saying their gradient uniforms. The red at the top represents the hope, and the black at the bottom represents the despair in the fourth quarter, which
those
I thought was a
clean, though. Those unis are actually pretty good.
You know, I didn't like him going into the season.
Those unis are pretty fire.
I told my friend Ryan I hated him. I was like, these are bad. You see him on the field, and they just look different. That's why you can't judge uniforms till you see him on the field. But don't care about the uniforms. They're dead to me. Go Carolina.
Facts. And then we move on. New England at Buffalo. Another divisional game, but oh man, the tides have turned in the AFC East. A decade of dominance by the Patriots. And now, you know, they're reeling. They don't have Tom Brady under center. They're 2-4, third place in division. You know, they really need this win against the Bills. Too bad. I don't really see that happening. Because while the Bills have dealt with their own recent struggles, you know, they had those two straight losses. They've been one of the better franchises in the AFC, I'd say, still. You know, Josh Allen, he's still legit. I think he's still a game breaker at quarterback. He's got plenty of dangerous weapons. For the Patriots, they can't even get quality play from Cam Newton. You know, we saw how bad he was. Three picks, I think 98 yards in total. But really, there's not much talent out wide also, so that's also to blame there. But I think regardless of who moves forward as the starting QB, the Pats just aren't going to be automatic like they've been in years past on the offensive end. So I'm going to take the Bills here.
Jack, you want to go on this one?
Yeah. Someone said to pump the brakes on Cam Newton. Someone said all offseason, you know, not sure how good the fit is. You know, he was injured. No, that was not you. It was
No. I said the first thing. I take full responsibility for Cam being good.
No. I was saying we should pump the brakes on him.
Oh, yeah. I
said after the first couple of games against this, especially the Seattle game, I'm like, pump the brakes. Just wait. Things will happen. And there it was. But Buffalo did not look good either. I mean, they barely beat the Jets, and everyone has been crushing the Jets this year. So, look, Josh Allen's a game breaker. I'm not sure if I could say that he's a consistent game breaker. He's not a consistent game breaker anymore. He's not a consistent game breaker. He was the first couple games of the year. I believe they lost three straight going up until last week.
No, they're 5-2.
So they lost two in a row, and they almost lost this one. But, I mean, that game was almost a loss, and it was the Jets. They didn't score a single touchdown. So I'm not going to say Josh Allen's a consistent game breaker, That being said, I am going with Buffalo because I trust them more. And I think that people just need to think about, when is it time to kind of forget what you already know about New England? Because they obviously don't look like the same team. But when do we start trusting them a little bit less? And I think that's, I'm not sure I've come to that yet, but it's approaching that.
Okay, so first what I'm going to say is the whole pump the brakes thing. Yeah, I give you credit, but also, I mean, he did get COVID. One, two, their offensive line has been massively hurt, and they've just been losing guys left and right. I mean, it's hard. That's why I don't want people to look at this and say, oh, Brady carried the Belichick era. No, he didn't. As much as I say I'm a Brady guy and I say he's the best football player of all time and all this, Belichick is still the best coach, in my opinion, I've ever seen. And they'll be back. Give him a quarterback or give him his players back. I mean, they've had so many opt-outs and stuff. I'm not going to elaborate, but you know what I'm talking about. The opt-outs coming into the year and also all the stuff they've been dealing with the COVID. Cam Newton, I still have faith in him. Just long-term, I think he can still find a starting job in this league. Prior to his COVID case, he was playing terrific. And Jack, I know you can agree with me there. I mean, he was shattering expectations. So let's see. I mean, with this Patriots team again, not much to look forward to this year. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I mean, every team, you can't always be consistently great. And their two decades of dominance are a time we're going to look back on and say, wow, this was great. So I'm going to also pick Buffalo. And just a quick note on Josh Allen. Again, my whole thing with him wasn't the fact that he could be a game breaker or make these insane plays. It was the fact that he makes the plays to win games. And he still did that, nevertheless, against a downright awful Jets team, but he still won the game. So, and again, Measly Beasley, a guy who's been kind of a meme, has been doing pretty well. So watch out for him. But yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo here at home.
Mm-hmm. And moving on to Tennessee at Cincinnati, three relatively easy games here to start us off. Look, just things aren't looking good for the Bengals right now. Other than Joe Burrow, you know, really emerging as a legit franchise quarterback, I don't think they're a complete team at all. And, you know, have they given up? Maybe. I don't think so yet. But look, their situation.
Like giving up on the season?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they've given. I mean, they play hard. I'll give them
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially Joe Burrow. But their situation just, it doesn't get any better with the Titans coming to town. You know, they're just rolling right now. Even after that loss to the Steelers, I think the offense is still firing on all cylinders. That defense, it's still more than capable of shutting down quality attacks. And especially because you're playing the Bengals, I think the Titans, I think you rely on Derrick Henry all the way. You rely on that running game to get the job done. Because the Bengals have been one of the worst teams in the league this year in terms of slowing down the run. So I don't think that's really good for their chances of slowing, in my opinion, the NFL's most dangerous back right now, excluding CMC. But I'm going to take the Titans in this one. I think the Bengals do kind of keep it close, but I'm going to take Tennessee.
I think it's a closer game than expected, but I'm going with Tennessee as long as it doesn't come down to a game-tying field goal, because Gostkowski will end up missing that one at the end of the game.
Yeah. You know, it sucks. I mean, Tennessee, you guys know I was high on them. I had them in the same tier as Buffalo. They're still a great team. Jack, granted this too, if they had made that field goal, I'm convinced they would have won it overtime.
Yeah, me too.
And they had all the momentum going into that field goal kick. A.J. Brown, again, like I said in my power rankings video, the dude is a stud. I mean, he is crazy good.
So is Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. And I want all the people.
Everyone had him over Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
I had him over. I said he would have a better quarterback season than Deshaun Watson. Remember that? I was slandered for it. Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. He always has been. People say he's a system guy. No, he's not. While Vrabel has helped him, he's always had this type of talent.
That's just what happens when you go from a terrible system to a good system. Like, he was with Adam Gase. So.
A little bit of that, too. Yeah, I'll give him that. But he also had coaches before Gase. Okay, he had Joe Philbin a long time ago. I don't even know if you guys know who that is, but I remember him. Tannehill was an 8-8 guy. Now he's a pretty good. Yeah, I mean, more like an 11-5 guy. That's what the Titans are looking like, maybe even better. So I'm going to take Tennessee here. But yeah, Tannehill, Henry, and AJ Brown. That's a big three in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, did you take the Titans?
Yeah, I did take the Titans. I said as long as it doesn't come down to a Gostkowski field goal.
Now we move on to our first. I'd say it's a pretty tough game here. Look, we talk about how I can't pick the Bears. But I've been pretty bad at picking the Raiders, too. Because every time I pick the Raiders to win this season, it kind of seems to backfire on me. So I'll go first here. I'll make your jobs a little easier. I thought they'd pull off the win against the Bucks this past weekend, but obviously that didn't pan out as I'd expected. Can they get the job done in Week 8? I think so. I'm actually going to take the Raiders here. I think the Raiders are the more complete team right now.
Who are they playing? I don't think we said.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland. Your favorite team. So I know you're going to be mad about this, but I think Derek Carr. Okay. I think Derek Carr, he's playing some of his best football right now. He's got a great running back in Josh Jacobs that can help him move the offense along. It's just that offensive line, man, just stay out of trouble, please. If you can stay out of trouble, I think the Raiders will be set in the scoring department. Plus, it's not like – I mean, the Browns got pieces on defense, but they're not, like, amazing. Because apart from Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, you know, they're pretty much lacking in the talent department on that side of the ball. So I think Carr is going to exploit that. I think the defense does just enough to keep that offense from lighting up the scoreboard. So I'm going to take the Raiders here, although I think it's going to be a close game.
Anish, I'll let you go now. I've got a big announcement I want to save for last.
So, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much because I do have something special for you guys coming up in the coming weeks. But, dude, first off, prayers to OBJ. I mean, as a Browns fan, it sucks to see. But, dude, Baker Mayfield, I can't with this dude. I mean, what happened? I texted so many people that day. I said, you know what? Get him off the field. Someone. Get me Case Keenum. I even texted these guys. Hey, should we do a trade for Matt Ryan episode? I mean, and then out of nowhere, this dude goes 5 touchdowns. The best performance I've ever seen from this dude, including college. I will say that, including college. That is the best performance I've seen from him. I don't know what happened. Again, I'm going to save it for later, but he just looks like a different quarterback without Odell, and I don't know how to explain it. I even said that coming into the year. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, maybe he moves his eyes more. He just looks like a different quarterback. He was finding different guys. Hollywood Higgins got involved again. I don't know why Baker looks like a god throwing to him, but hey, if it works, it works. And that win, that game was one of the best games I've seen. Best games of the year. If it was on primetime, that would have been something special. But again, yeah, those two throws to Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones were two of the best throws I've seen all year. I mean, they were insane. Crunch time. He did it. I mean, this was a game finally we were waiting on. I want Jack to actually maybe talk about it. Hopefully he does. But regarding this game, again, the Raiders O-line, I'm still unsure about what they are. I mean, I know they're coming back, but are they really like 100%? Yeah. That's a little bit of a concern. It's at Cleveland. I also got a $10 bet on the game, so that's why I'm going to take the Browns here. But also, Shrikar, another guy that I wanted to mention on defense. Myles Garrett, first off, is leading the league in sacks and forced fumbles. A defensive player of the year campaign for sure. I think he's the second best pass rusher behind Aaron Donald. That's up to you guys to decide. But yeah, I'm going to take the Browns here. And another guy I wanted to mention is Ronnie Harrison, who's been playing pretty solid. Good pickup for the Browns in the offseason.
So I set aside my bias in our preseason record predictions for the Browns. And I had them actually with the best record out of all of us three. And I said that I would keep my bias throughout the year when picking their games, but I want to announce I'm officially disbanding that. I need wins.
No.
I don't want to hear it. I need wins, and I'm going to stick with my playoff predictors, and I'm going to put my bias aside, and I'm going to start picking the Browns more often. And I've got them against Vegas because I had them doing well before the season, and every time I pick against them, they win.
2-5 with Browns picks, by the way.
Well, I just don't want to pick them. I hate picking them. It's the worst, but. You know what? Putting the bias aside, got to get some wins, and I'm going with Cleveland in this one.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the Colts and the Lions. Honestly, I like what I've seen from the Lions in the last 2 weeks. You know, they came out of that bye week with – it just seems like a new energy. You got 2 straight wins, but one thing to keep in mind, those wins
– actually, 3 straight, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It was 2. But they came against teams with a combined record of 2-12. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. A win is a win. Like, I'm not discrediting that, but – you know, starting a win streak against 2 of the worst teams in the league, I mean, that's not a reason to celebrate. So now the Lions go head-to-head with the Colts. I think they've been somewhat impressive through their first 6 outings. And while Phillip Rivers, I will admit he is a liability at times, the Colts have won with their defense. And that Frank Reich is a great coach, too. I got to give him credit, too. The running game is great. So I'm going to take the Colts here, even with Marlon Mack out. I think Indy... they haven't had much trouble moving the ball on the ground, so I think Jonathan Taylor could have a big game. Maybe Nyheim Hines gets in there, but I think the run game will really, you know, power the Colts to on Sunday.
Yeah, I can. You want me to take this one, Jack?
Yeah.
I think so. For the Lions, again, why they've been looking good is because Kenny Golladay has been playing tremendous. I just wanted to say that. T.J. Hockenson, sorry, that's another guy who stepped up. I mean, that is a big time pick. This is honestly really the first time in a while I've seen a first round tight end have this type of production. Really, usually they don't hit. And we're seeing it with Cole Kmet. I mean, he's had like one good game.
He was second round.
Who was the second? Sorry, high draft picks for tight ends. Excuse me. Yeah, but I think for this Lions team, unfortunately, why I'm picking the Colts is one, they're off a bye, and two, Phillip Rivers is an experienced quarterback, especially with a young defense like Detroit. I just don't know how they'll fare against an experienced quarterback like that. And again, their offensive line, I think, is going to win the line of scrimmage. Everson Griffin, let's see what he does. I don't know if he's playing this week recent trade.
I think it's going to be hard for him to get on the field.
Yeah, I don't think he will be. But again, it's a good pickup down the road. But again, not for this game. I'm going to take Indy off a bye.
I feel like Detroit's just one of the hardest teams to pick because they've been winning some games. I think are they 3-3?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just I think it's hard to pick them.
Right? I think you picked Jags and then Falcons.
Yeah, I think I've got, I missed two in a row. And they're just a hard team to pick. And I don't want to do it. And I'm not gonna do it again. I'm just gonna pick Indy. I'll probably get it wrong. That's just how it works with Detroit for some reason. But I'm going with Indy. I think they're the better team. I thought they were the better team all year. And I don't think Detroit's record really reflects, them as a football team. Because like you said, Trigar, they've beaten Jacksonville and Atlanta, and they shouldn't even have beaten Atlanta. So I think they're a team with a 2-4 record if things go the way they should have. And even that, I don't think they're a 2-4
team. Well, also could have beaten the Bears.
Yeah, they could have beaten the Bears. But I don't think they're a 3-3 team. And I think Indianapolis is better than them. So I'm going with Indy.
And moving on, the 1-5 Vikings against the 5-1 Packers. This is relatively easy for me. Right now, Aaron Rodgers has the Vikings number. I'm going to take him here. I know he's got just about everyone's number. The Packers are just a great team. I think they'll be feeling pretty good coming off that win against the Texans. And the Vikings have just been a dumpster fire this season. So I'm going to take Green Bay.
So yeah. With the Vikings roster, I just don't know what's going on. I mean, they've literally put like almost everyone on the trade block. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe they do actually get Lawrence as we predicted. If you guys haven't seen that episode, be sure to check it out. It's a unique one. It's something that not many people are talking about. But yeah, again, for Aaron Rodgers, he's owned the Vikings at home. And I don't see anything different here. I'm going to take the Packers. I just think this Packers team will beat teams like the Vikings. I think they're suited to beat teams that are less physical, down the air type guys. And I think Jair Alexander is going to play well against either Jefferson or Thielen. I still haven't watched enough tape on him to know if he's a one side guy island type thing, or does he move to receiver? I'll be on the lookout for that. And also fans, if you want to see that too, keep an eye on Jair Alexander in this game, especially coming in against, two of the best receivers in the league. So let's see how that works, but I'm going to take Green Bay, the better team.
Vikings also have a terrible pass defense. So Aaron Rodgers has to.
And the pass rush got worse after trading Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens. So, I mean, Green Bay crushed him week one, and that was on the road in Minnesota with Yannick Ngakoue and with Dalvin Cook. I don't know if Cook is slated to play in this game. He's back? Okay. But, he's still probably going to be on a limited snap count. That's what they do with running backs that coming back from injury nowadays. And it's at home. There's no way Green Bay loses this one in my eyes.
Oh, God. Now you jinx. Hold on. Knock on wood.
All right. You're going to knock? Yeah, I'm knocking too, man.
Don't worry, I got you.
Moving on.
Oh, no.
So we all have New York. We all have Kansas City. They're going to beat New York. I think the line opened up at like 22 points.
We can't. Come on. I mean, there was literally a poll about Clemson and the Jets, and 72% of people took Clemson. I'm sorry. Look, Jets are a pro team, man. I mean,
yeah, it's
look,
not going to.
No, look, yeah. As much as I hate on them, and I told you, Jack, they were not winning six games. I told you this. They were not splitting with teams in the division, okay? It's like, it's so sad. I mean, I think they'll win too. I think they will. But, I mean, Chiefs, Jets, I got the Chiefs here. But I just want to note one thing before we, move on. It's probably going to be quick. But my homeboy is looking like a surgeon. I told you, they're not going to rely on him as much. And I expect the run game to go again. I think expect over 200 yards on the ground today. Or not today, on Sunday.
Le'Veon Bell in a revenge game. He had over 200 rushes with the Jets, and only one of them went for 16-plus yards. Yeah. Can you guess when he rushed for 16 yards? The first one. So I'm just going to turn this weekly segment of Jets picks into a Fire Adam Gase session. So I'm just going to say it every week. Fire Adam Gase, the Jets aren't winning this week.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs. But since I really – there's no justification for me to say, so I'll go ahead and give a score prediction for this time. I'll say Chiefs win.
Do they cover?
No. Yeah. I think.
I agree. They don't.
I'll say Chiefs win 43-10.
Whoa.
Why? I think it's going to be that big, bro.
So they do cover. Okay.
Oh, you mean the Chiefs cover? Oh, okay. I think he thought you meant the Jets cover.
No. The Chiefs are covering. But, I just think it's going to be an overall blowout. And the Chiefs can beat you, like, any way they want. We saw the running.
I think we don't even need to talk about
that. There's one true outcome. The Jets
win this one. Yeah, we don't know what's happen. But if the Jets pull it off, then God almighty.
He's trying to jinx it. No.
No, I don't even know what to say anymore. Not even jinxing works.
Moving on to the Rams at the Dolphins. Rams are 5-2, but I think they're far from a perfect team. And we saw what happened on Monday night, but I think they've still got some stuff to prove. You still got to convince the rest of the league that they're a team worth taking seriously, especially in the NFC West. The Rams offense, it's been kind of streaky this season. Jared Goff, he showed up in some games and then he's just disappeared in others. The run game's actually been pretty good. And that's actually surprised me because, of course, Todd Gurley left. Malcolm Brown is continuously showing out on game day. But I mean, LA, when you talk about LA, you have to focus on the defense for the Rams. And that's why I'm confident they can beat the Dolphins in week 8. Tua Tagovailoa, he's getting his first start against Aaron Donald. That's not really going to be a pleasant introduction to the NFL. So I think he's going to struggle with all of the pressure. I think he's going to make too many mistakes for the Dolphins to overcome. So I'm going to take the LA Rams in this one.
Jack, who are you going with?
Yeah, so I mean, Miami's got the game plan factor. They're coming off a bye. They can implement a lot of plays for Tua. They can really script. They can script the start of the game like crazy with 2 weeks to do it. Los Angeles has never seen Tua before. They haven't played a left-handed quarterback all year. I mean, no one has. And there's no NFL tape on him. But I'm not picking him. I'm not super high on Tua anyways. I think he could still be a starter in this league for a while. But I am not super high on him. I had him as the third quarterback in this draft, not the second, like most people did. But I don't think he's going to get it done week one against the Rams.
Mm-hmm. So I have
a
five-game lead on both of you. And I'm down two against the fans. And you know what? I'm taking the Miami Dolphins upsetting off a bye. And here is why. Look, I don't know what it's been, but there has been a trend. Quarterbacks coming in, they just light it up. I don't know why. And you know what? I agree with Jack on this one too. I thought they should have kept Fitzpatrick in, but Miami's been playing great at home. They really have. They've hung in with Seattle and Buffalo at home. And I don't know. I think the Rams will ride in a little bit too high. It's a short week for them. I'm not saying trap game or anything. I'm never going to say that ever again, obviously, because of Streetcar. But you know what? I think it could happen. I'm going to take Miami off a bye here to an upset. And hey, Tua Tagovailoa, baby. Let's do it.
Hey, and for the record, that's a trap game.
No, come on. Don't do that.
You literally defined a trap game.
Just like when Jack picked the Jets over the Colts in week 3.
Okay, this is nowhere near that. This is
nowhere near that. It's not, but it's still a trap game. It's still a trap game.
Hopefully I pull it off, though. That would be an interesting one.
That would be cool. Moving on, in my opinion, the best game of the week, Steelers at the Ravens. This is definitely one of the best matchups of the season so far.
And it's stuck in a 10 a.m. game, and we got to watch Dallas Philly for Sunday football.
Hey, I'm going to be watching that.
I will too, but I don't want to.
I'd rather have them flex this game in there, but it's a tough decision. I'm going to pick the Ravens to win. Why? For starters, Baltimore's coming off a bye, and I think they spent every single minute preparing to slow down the Steelers. They'll have Lamar Jackson ready, I think they'll have him ready to take on that defense. Is Yannick Ngakoue playing? I think he should be able.
I think so. I think. I'm not sure. I'd have to check. I think that they've been practicing with him and Dez. I don't think Dez suits up, but
Dez is not going to. Yeah,
Dez is.
But
congratulations to Dez Bryant.
Oh yeah.
He deserves it. He deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as great as the Steelers' offense has been this season, I think the Ravens will have a game plan. To keep those receivers from going wild. I think Baltimore, they have a lot of stars on the defensive end, and I think their cornerbacks are more than capable of putting the clamps on Juju, on Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. I think they can lock them up real quick, but man, it's going to come down to like a last second field goal or something. I'm going to take the Ravens here, man.
I'll go here, Jack. I'll let you say for last. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens. Now, look, these two teams I absolutely hate. I hate these teams. I hate them with so much passion. I hate them. But you know what? They're both really good. I mean, Ravens got a loaded roster, and the Steelers, I mean, their defense is all, like I said in the power, all-time elite. I mean, it's insane what they can do. But I'm going to take the Ravens here just because I think the Steelers haven't played a quarterback as mobile as Lamar Jackson yet. And again, even when he's played the Steelers, yes, he turns it over via the passing game, but via the rushing game, he's been terrific against them. So I think underrated stat there. And again, yeah, their corners, Ravens corners are very underrated. I think they will shut down most of the Steelers passing game. And again, Big Ben, he was coming in to the Titans game, I believe 11 touchdowns, one pick, and then he struggled. He really did. So, I mean, the Ravens defense, I take over the Titans defense. So that's another thing to look out for. Again, yeah, shout out to Dez Bryant. His 2014 season was one of the best wide receiver seasons I've seen in real time. And it's really good to see him get an opportunity again. But yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore here. It's a tough one, though. But I think also Steelers are riding a little bit high with their 6-0. Barely escaped with a win. I'm going to take Baltimore here off a bye.
Dude, I was leaning Baltimore all week. And you guys are making me lean Baltimore even more. But see, I think there's a difference between riding high and being confident. And I think the Steelers are the only undefeated team in the league. Yeah. They escaped with a win, but sometimes that's what you need. And sometimes that lights a fire under a team. And sometimes a team wants to stay the only undefeated team in the league. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going with Pittsburgh this week.
Great. I know I'm going to have to root for the Ravens.
I differed with you guys last week on the biggest game of the week. And look, if Gostowski hits the kick, you know, we go to overtime. And who knows what would have happened. I'm going with Pittsburgh. They're the only undefeated team in the league. I think they look to stay the only undefeated team in the league. Like we said, this defense is elite. It's incredible. And, I mean, look at what happened last time Baltimore had some time off before going into a big game. Do you remember also, that, Anish?
No, look at the last time they've been in a big game. And you know what? I'm the type of guy to say no. I've said this all year that they just haven't looked good in prime. But I think this one, especially a divisional rival like this, they've looked really good against Pittsburgh the last couple of years. So, but I think at Pittsburgh, it'll be a different story. But that's why
this is at Baltimore. Oh, yeah, so you're saying the next game? Yeah, it's a tough one. This is really one of the hardest games to pick all year. And I'm high on the Ravens. I really like the Ravens. But give me the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one.
Moving on to the Chargers at the Broncos. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Chargers are better than their 2-4 record would suggest. Justin Herbert has been sensational. He's coming off his first career win in week 7. Congratulations to Justin Herbert. And now it's looking like he'll enjoy his first winning streak here. I think the Chargers take this one. But look, the Broncos aren't a cakewalk. Like, come on. They have a good defense. They love to get after the quarterback. They've given up more passing yards than you'd expect from a Vic Fangio defense. But I think Herbert's going to have another good outing here. He continues making his case for offensive rookie of the year. I don't think the Denver offense is going to have as much success as the Chargers offense. Drew Lock was just a mess in his return from injury, and the Broncos haven't been able to get the passing or rushing games going right now. So the Chargers don't have an elite defense, in my opinion, but I think they should be up to the task of keeping the Broncos out of the end zone. So I'm going to take the Chargers here.
I want my boy Justin Herbert. I got his first win last week. Did an episode on him.
Justin Herbert.
Shut up. I'm jumping off the Jets train. I don't want to watch that anymore.
No.
Give me Justin Herbert. No. I'm kidding. But I did an episode on him analyzing his rookie year so far.
Please go watch that. That was one of the best videos I've watched Jack do, so please go watch that.
Yeah, so just analyzing, you know, a deep dive into his season. And I said that he deserved to have more wins than this one. He could have 3 wins right now if it wasn't for, you know, a drop token ladder and a missed field goal. So he really could be 3-2 right now instead of 1-4. But I think he gets another win here against Denver. I feel like Denver was the most talked about team going into the year, and now they're maybe the least talked about team in the league.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, they were the most improved team in the AFC, man.
Yeah.
They looked like it. But that's the NFL for you. So I think Los Angeles wins this one and Herbert gets his second win.
Clean sweep here. And also another factor that we didn't talk about was weather. And I just recently looked it up. It's going to be sunny. So that's a big help for the Chargers. But it is something to look out for because Herbert hasn't been playing in these big weather games. I mean, most of the games he's been playing are in our indoor stadiums, right? Even against I think it was Jacksonville was, I think, indoor, right? So yeah, he's been playing mostly inside, aside from the Tampa game. So, but he's looked good. Again, Jack did a perfect analysis on it. Please go check that out. But yeah, Justin Herbert's been playing tremendous. And also another episode I would want people to watch is an interview with Colin Cowherd. He sounded so mature in that thing. I mean, like, he sounded like he was a pro-ready quarterback, and that was awesome to see. Just a really good guy in general, and I think they're going to take it against the Broncos. But guys, don't be surprised at a Broncos upset here. I mean, it's still at Denver, so you never know there. But they got outplayed on all three facets of the game against Kansas City. I mean, yeah, it's Kansas City, but still, all three. I mean, that's a bad look. So I'm going with LA.
And now we move on to the Saints at the Bears, 4-2 at 5-2. Okay.
Can I do an introduction about you and the Bears?
Saints are 4-2.
Yeah, he's at 4-2 at 5-2. But just to introduce, you know, what's been going on with the Bears.
Someone needs to tell this man that he is 0-7 on Bears pick.
That's impressive. Like, I'm legitimately impressed by that.
That's Bears insane.
You should thank me in the comments. I am literally
Bears, no. Listen, this is the most improbable thing I've ever seen in my life. Every single week, what he says doesn't happen. Shrikar could literally be winning. He could be both of us, right? You're down 5 on me, only down 1 to Jay. Wow.
I'm only down 1 on Jay. Yeah.
So Shrikar, we'll let you start, so we know who to take.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to take the Saints. I was pretty uncertain about the Saints to start the season, but they've proven themselves capable of taking down quality competition, and they're playing quality
competition like who?
In the Bears. What?
Who'd they take down? That's quality competition.
The Chargers. No.
Yeah, see? There's some skeptical.
Didn't they beat the Bucks? No, they lost to the Bucks. Oh, right. No, they did beat the Bucks.
They did, yeah.
And with that said, though, the Bears are a team that can be beat. And we saw that this past Monday when the Rams, they played great defense. Shout out to Johnny Hecker, best punter in the game. His punting also kind of limited them to only 10 points. And luckily for the Saints, they've got a great defense. Well, not a great defense. They got a good defense that I think they can keep the Bears in check, hopefully. I'm never confident in Bears picks anymore, man, but – if you're watching this video, pick the Bears, okay? Because I'm picking the Saints.
I want to pick the Saints. I want the Saints to win. But now I have to decide whether to go with who I think is going to win the game or go with the trend and go with, you know, what's happened all year.
Jack, I'm so down to pick it. Bro,
Give me the Bears. Let's do it. Give me the Bears only because Shrikar's 0-7.
And you know what? I'm doing the exact same thing, brother.
Here's the thing, though. Because I differed from you guys on Raiders. So if the Raiders win and the Saints pull it off and I beat and I go in front of Jack,
fully based on the Bears. You and me both.
You know what? I'll take the risk.
I just want to see this keep going.
It's not a risk for Anish. It's a risk for Jack mainly.
Yeah.
Imagine you go a whole half a season and not get a single Bears pick right.
That's insane. Please,
that's legitimately impressive.
Man.
Hey, Jack, you and me were taking the Bears?
We're taking the Bears.
Say less.
Only because Shrikar picked the Saints.
Exactly. Okay. And they're at home. You never know.
And hopefully we see a bounce back week. But focusing on the Bears actually playing football, they've got some problems. Yes, the offensive line was horrendous. It was kind of highlighted by the fact that they played a primetime game. And, you know, Nick Foles, they've got a problem at quarterback no matter who's in. Nick Foles having problems with Nate or with Nagy. I think that's being a little bit blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
I think they figure it out. And hopefully the play calling gets better, whether that's Nagy or someone else.
I've talked to a lot of Bears fans on that too. Like, they don't want Nagy to call plays down there in Chicago or up
there. Which is funny because he won Coach of the Year a couple years. Like, that's just crazy.
He won Coach of the Year's first year, which is weird. But you know what? I just want to mention two things because I didn't watch the full game. But there were two plays where Jalen Ramsey got beat. One was by Darryl Mooney. I don't know how to say his name, but number 11 for the Bears. One of them. I saw it. Just completely misses him. I don't know. I mean, it just shows how good Aaron Donald is. I mean, the dude broke 5 double teams, and it's just – I don't know how he does it. Best defensive player in the league. But, yeah, you know
what? Allen Robinson's out, though. Oh, I want to flip my pick. Dude, I want to flip my pick, but I'm not going to do it.
Let's do it. Hey, Jack, you and me. No, we'll take the loss together, bro.
Go Bears.
Right. And moving on, Niners at the Seahawks. Oh my God, this pains me to say, especially coming.
Are you gonna?
But I'm gonna take the Seahawks, man. I'm gonna take the Seahawks. I think even though they've got their struggles on defense, you're coming off a loss to Arizona, they're still one of the best teams in the league. And you're at CenturyLink. And look, for the Niners, the last thing that I want to do is face an angry Russell Wilson. So I'm going to take the Seahawks here. Do the Niners have a strong pass defense? Yes, they do. Have they seen a quarterback anywhere remotely near Russell Wilson? And Russell Wilson always has the Niners number.
They played Sam Darnold, dude.
I'm messing with you. No, Sam Darnold, of course. But look, I think Russell Wilson, I think he's going to out-duel Jimmy Garoppolo. But Jimmy's been playing better as of late, but I'm going to be a pessimistic Niner fan, and I'm going to take the Seahawks.
I'll go last.
I don't know why Russell Wilson always beats the first Niners game, but he always wins the first one. So I'm going to take Seattle for that reason. Also, coming off a loss, you know Russ is going to be angry. Because here's the thing. He didn't make the plays to win the game. He honestly sold them in the final, in overtime. Three picks? That's the MVP. I don't know. He's kind of selling his case, and I'm telling you, it's an open MVP race now. He's definitely left the door open again. I mean, they're last year too. I don't know what to say. But that's why I said it coming in. I just don't know if he's going to keep it for the entire year. I think Jack also said that too.
Yeah, I said that. I said he wouldn't be the front runner by the end of the year.
Yeah. So he's leaving the door open. But I'm sure he's not focused on that. He's definitely focused on winning a Super Bowl and, of course, winning this game. So I'm going to take Seattle here, but two players that need to step up, Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. Where the hell are you both?
Adams has been hurt.
I know Adams has been hurt, but Wagner, where have you been? I mean, there was a play where Chase Edmonds goes right straight down the field, and Bobby Wagner is nowhere to be found, even though he had a clear shot, clear chance to block it. So that's a iffy thing. Just want to shout this out. Jack Smith did say that Fred Warner is not a top five linebacker in this league. I think we can all agree.
I think we can all agree that he has been devastatingly wrong.
I'm going to leave my argument there. Seattle's winning this game.
Hey, it's Warner at one, Lavonte David at two for me, man.
I thought about taking the Niners. I really did. And I've been high on Seattle all year. But Arizona figured something out in that game. Did you see by the end of the game the way they were blitzing Russell Wilson? And when you play pass against the Seahawks?
It was the zero blitz with the rush on the right.
Yeah, and a lot of bluff blitzes and bringing different guys that you didn't think were coming and dropping back guys that you thought were coming. It looked a lot like
by Byron Murphy.
It looked a lot like New England. That's a lot like when Sam Darnold saw ghosts against New England, it was a lot of that same stuff. And they got Russell Wilson to make mistakes, which is something he hadn't done all year. And also, I think Chris Carson maybe doesn't play. I think that there's a lot of banged up running backs for Seattle. And I'm talking myself into taking San Francisco, but I'm not being against Russell Wilson, especially when you guys both took Seattle. I will play it safe this one time. And I'm going to go with my gut. I think my brain's telling me to pick San Francisco. My gut tells me to pick Seattle. I'm going with my gut.
Surprisingly tough game there. I mean, now we move on to Sunday Night Football. Yay, the Cowboys at the Eagles.
Come on. It's not that bad.
Well, I've got the Eagles. The Cowboys are horrible. Horrible.
All right. With a
third-string quarterback, gets even worse.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's all I need to say.
All right. I mean, Shrikar, what about you?
Look, at this point, it's hard to trust any NFC East team to win at any given time. So
going into
this game, I was like, what do you do when two NFC East clubs square off? And honestly,
they've been squaring off all week these past few weeks.
You're probably best off just flipping a coin or something, just hoping for the best. That's not what I did here, though. I trusted my gut. I went with the Eagles. They're the stronger team heading into week eight. They have more momentum. They're just better on both sides of the ball. Plus, Carson Wentz, he seems to be coming into his own after what happened last Thursday, albeit it was against the Giants. But look, the Cowboys are just on a slippery slope to irrelevance right now. And Andy Dalton, he has not done well in place of Dak. Chances are
it's Ben DiNucci.
They'll always be relevant. But it's just not going to be in a good way right now.
If it's Ben DiNucci, that gives me more incentive to pick the Eagles. But it's got to be the Eagles here, man.
So
I don't want to hear any walk it to them right now, dude. They're playing the Cowboys, and they beat the Giants.
The media was wrong, and they overreacted. Listen, what I saw, I don't care if it was against the Giants. The reason why I like walk it to them. The reason why I like Walker to him Wentz is if you give him a chance, he will do it, okay? In the fourth quarter, I don't know why, but he steps up. He does. When he is on the field, he steps up in the fourth quarter if you give him the opportunity. In the two wins that he has a game-winning drive. That insane pass to Fulgham, it was a good throw. And the one to Boston Scott, I don't know how he made that throw. That couldn't have been put any more perfect. You guys know I like Daniel Jones. Why? I mean, it cost me 7 fantasy points. But you know what? Evan Engram, if you catch it, it's over. But you give you give Walkett to him a chance, and he will deliver. And I'm picking Walkett to him Wentz here against Dallas. And I will be watching the game as much as not many people will. But yeah, like I said, if Dallas lost to Washington, this team is going south, and it is going south.
Look, if Philly wins, I don't want to hear all this about how Wakatua won winning. A rivalry game, like how he looked great in primetime, how he won a rivalry game. I don't want to hear it. Look how bad Dallas has been, dude. Kyle Allen beat the Cowboys.
Kyle Allen was another guy I liked from last year, remember?
Yeah, you love Kyle
Allen. I'm going to be talking about it. So Wakatua, hopefully he wins. Knock on wood on that one, too, because I don't want to jinx it.
And we got another pretty poor primetime game, the Buccaneers at the Giants on Monday Night Football. There may not be a hotter team in the league right now than the Bucs. It took a few weeks, but Brady's really hitting his stride with the Bucs now. He's bringing his teammates along with him on a trip to the playoffs, potentially. And we all know about that passing attack, super dynamic. A lot of talented receivers there, but their defense, man, is just something else. They've excelled at pressuring quarterbacks, creating turnovers, making the big time stops when they matter most. You got a reliable running game too. They're a very complete team. So I'm going to take the Bucs here. It's pretty easy for me. The Giants have just been a complete mess, and they just don't have enough talent to keep up with the Bucs here. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jack.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay too. They've looked dominant. And a team that gets dominated often is the New York Giants. Yes, it was close against Philly, but it's the NFC East. I mean, that's really all you got to say. Now they play the NFC South, and they play the Buccaneers, who've been dominant the last 2 weeks against good teams too. The Packers and the Raiders have proven to be good teams this year, and look, I think Tampa Bay is going to get it done.
I think one thing for Tampa Bay, it's Arians has been less in control of the defense, and again, Todd Bowles, another stout defensive performance. Like I said in my power ranks, they're elite in all three facets. They've got a great pass rush with Sue, Shaq Barrett, I'm including in that. Their linebackers are the fastest in the league, in my opinion, with David and Devin White. And their corners and secondary have been playing really good despite being very young. And you know what's crazy? In my playoff predictors, I had the Giants upsetting with Saquon. But again, a lot of that's been changed in the last few weeks without Saquon. I think you guys all known that. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay here, but I do want to say this, and I do want to say this on air, maybe Jack can clip it. If Tom Brady wins the MVP or the Super Bowl this year, in my opinion, he's the indisputable best athlete in American sports.
I agree with you.
To do what he's doing at 43.
He might be right now. Like, honestly, he might be right now,
but I want to see it, obviously, later in. But yeah, you guys know how I feel about quarterbacks, especially Tom Brady. So if he wins the MVP or the Super Bowl, indisputable best athlete in American sports, and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. But, I mean, that wraps up our week. There were some big games this week. You look at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, even Las Vegas, definitely had Cleveland. Some upsets. There's definitely some upsets. Like we said earlier, though, go to our Instagram, and you guys can vote on each of these games. Keep up the hot streak you guys are on, and you'll get a giveaway by the end of the year if you stay in first place. But speaking of our Instagram, you can go there in the description, follow us there, follow our Twitter, and check out our website.
Timestamps also down below.
Timestamps are also in the description if you want to skip to a certain game. And then we've got, like we said, the two videos from earlier, the Trevor Lawrence video and the Justin Herbert video that you guys can check out. We'll put on the end screen. But we want to thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time.